and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
Hello, Jay.
All right, guys, we are back. Quick turnaround for us because we did the debate coverage last week, but we are back. And already there are plenty of things to talk about. So the first story is an interesting one. I have a bit of a take. I know many people are happy about it. Or more like Nelson from The Simpsons, like pointing and laughing kind of situation, which is a type of happiness, I understand. But I do have a bit of an interesting take on this. So Trump's documents trial, or excuse me, the January 6th trial with Jack Smith is scheduled to start on March 4th, 2024, which is the day before Super Tuesday. Like, that's funny because that really throws a wrench into Trump's plans, obviously, running for president. What are your thoughts on that? And I'll give you mine.
It's also funny because, so of course, like, you know, the judge asked both parties in the trial to submit, you know, their preferred start dates. And, you know, Jack Smith was reasonable. And I think he was like, you know, like, January or December, something like that, of this year.
Yeah, I think it was January.
Yeah. And Trump's attorneys are like, let's do this in April 2026.
Yeah.
Why rush? What's the rush? It's not like there's a, you know, it's not like there's an election of consequence between now and then.
No, no.
That could potentially change how this goes. Right. And the judge here, basically, Judge Chutkan, who's running the trial, I'll give you a quote from her. I want to note here that setting a trial date does not depend and should not depend on the defendant's personal or professional obligations. She also made the point that, like, hey, like, if this was a professional athlete, like, I wouldn't schedule the trial around, you know, to accommodate them for their season. You know, I would, you know, it's in the interest of justice. And she also correctly pointed out there's a public interest in this trial being resolved sooner rather than later, which she is correct. Like, that is 100% correct on her behalf.
Yeah. It to me, it's inarguable, right? That being said, I saw when this came out, a bunch of people on the right were like, wait a minute, election interference. It couldn't be more obvious. How can you libs not see this? Here's the thing. There's police outside. they're ready. They're like, why even wait so much for
they come, it? They've come to drag you back. So.
Yeah. Not in your life. I get it, right? I get their argument that it feels like election interference, right? Like, I 100% get that perspective. I don't agree with it. I think that the judge and the many judges are running up against a situation where they're like, they're being forced to like figure out what their schedule is. Right. And so like, there's part of me though, there's a large part of me that thinks this might not have been the best day. Right. Like, I find it hilarious and like that this is going to fuck with Trump and everything else, but if you're trying to come off as it not being like a trial that's going to interfere with the election, that you're not trying to like fuck this over from an optics perspective, it isn't the best day to pick. Now, that being
I'm going to argue against you.
Yes. And I'm going to argue against myself with the following.
Well, no. But I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to argue against you by saying, hey, it's not the best day you could have picked from an optical standpoint. There wasn't a day that you could have picked before the election that Republicans wouldn't have gotten bent out of shape.
I agree with that. 100%. So here is me arguing against my previous statement, because there is another aspect that I think Republicans have not considered when they're like screaming about like election interference. And I think this clip I'm going to play, and if you're watching this on video, this will be much better. This proves like the major thing that they're missing. It's very simple.
Stop breaking the law!
And that's it. Liar, Liar is a great movie. Liar is an awesome movie. We don't have as many whimsical, ridiculous movies this day and age, but that's a great movie.
Yeah.
But that's the point. Like, no one told you to break the law, dude. Like, you broke the law. You can't be mad that, you know, that the situation has moved into, hey, we have to do this and it's inconvenient. It wouldn't be inconvenient had you not done what you did, right? So, like, correct. There's part of me that I can understand the argument that at least it seems like on the surface. I don't think it is, but it seems like on the surface that this is, like, politically motivated and they're trying to fuck him over. But also at the same time, you're absolutely correct. There's not a date you could have picked that they wouldn't have said mm-hmm. that. And this is just unfortunate, but it's also unfortunate that you broke the law. Like, so I don't know, man. Like, I'm not really of the mind of, like, poor you. I don't care.
Now, I find the date hilarious because it is arguably, from a Trump perspective, of any date that they could have picked before the election, it's arguably the best date that they could have selected from the Trump campaign perspective, and it's arguably the worst date that they could have selected from a Republican perspective, because it is quite possible that come Super Tuesday, Donald Trump will have the Republican nomination for president all but sewn up. And so this trial will be unfolding as he's the presumptive nominee and might have the delegates to factually be the nominee or be really close. But then we have all summer of him having to run against Joe Biden where he's on trial for doing the crimes.
Yeah. And look, there's another aspect to this, too, in that same vein is this is considerably before the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, if you are running against him, you got to be looking at this. And I'm not the person who came up with this point, but I agree with it. You got to be looking at, if you're Ron DeSantis or you're one of these other chuckleheads who might get a couple delegates, right? You might do all right, because mm-hmm. a lot of Republican ones are like winner take all. So, like, you're just fucked. Like, if you don't win, you're just screwed, unlike the Democrats. But if you have a couple of delegates, let's say Vivek wins a couple, like one or two states, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, DeSantis, you know, pulls out a miracle and, like, somebody decides to actually like that guy. If that's the case, then what you're basically incentivizing is those guys need to stick around. Because if mm-hmm. this guy gets convicted and at before the convention and Republicans are like, we can't do this. By the way, do I think that they're smart enough to do that?
I was about to say, it's real cute that you think a conviction would stop them from still not.
Right. No, I get it. But I'm just saying, on and off chance that there might be a groundswell of, like, mm-hmm. reasonable Republicans who are like, I don't know, man, maybe we shouldn't do this. You get someone like a DeSantis or somebody like that who really feels like, okay, I'm going to stick around. I'm going to see if these delegates, the way it falls, and, like, you know, give me some negotiating power type of shit. So it does not bode well for a party if this guy has an entire summer where he is being dragged through the mud. By the way, also not good from running against that guy where he's just mm-hmm. giving all of this campaign fodder to Joe Biden. You know, Biden was like, apparently Biden's camp is like, we're not going to make, you know, his legal troubles a part of the campaign. If you truly believe that, I have a bridge to sell you in Alaska. There is no political consultants on planet Earth that don't say, there's a knife. It's in a beautiful glass case. It is ready to be used, and your enemy can do nothing to protect itself. Don't use the knife.
Yeah.
No, they're going to be like, use the knife and use it as many times as you can. Hit him hard. Like, and he eventually will.
I'm going to lay forth for you the one scenario that Trump would actually potentially concede the nomination in the Republican Party. And that is if he gets convicted before the convention and they can somehow convince him, hey, and this is tough because it requires him to actually, like, look at things from a smart perspective, which he doesn't do. He's too much of a narcissist. But if someone can convince him, like, hey, like, you've been convicted of this crime, there is no way, like you got the shit kicked out of you by Joe Biden in the popular vote last time. Like now you have a conviction hanging around your neck. There's no way you're going to win again this time.
Right.
You drop out you know, for the good of the country or, you know, or whatever. And you back this one specific horse to the hilt and you help him get elected and they will pardon you when they're in office. Like that I feel like is the only plausible scenario where someone that's not Trump, assuming that Trump, you know, has the groundswell and has the momentum going into the convention, I think it's the only scenario in which he would not get put up. Did they do it backwards?
I don't see it.
And, well, I don't either, because it requires him to actually believe that he would, you know, that he can't beat Joe Biden, which he never.
He would never concede
he lost.
Right, yeah. He would never concede that. He also could never put his trust in the rest of the Republican Party not to do him dirty. And look, by the way, he's smart not to trust that. Like, he's super smart not to trust that. Dude, if I was a Republican, I'd be like, yeah, we're going to pardon you. Like, don't worry about it, baby. We got you. Oh, you lost? Oh, shit. Guess what now, motherfucker? Sucks to be you. Like, who does he think in that scenario? And I know you're basically like, you're throwing out the what if kind of scenario, even though you know that it's not likely, right? Like, so I'm not asking you really to technically answer this, but that would mean that he would have to think most likely that Ron DeSantis can do something he can't do. I don't think it would be
DeSantis. I don't think his ego could take DeSantis being that guy. I think it would have to be a Vivek Ramaswamy who would just be a fucking toad for him. You know, someone of that ilk. Maybe a Tim Scott, like a Tim Scott has the gumption to be the leader on the ticket.
Tim Scott would be the Gerald Ford of this scenario.
100%. Well, and that's exactly what that person would become in this hypothetical scenario. They would be a lame duck president on day one because they would pardon him immediately and then everyone would fucking hate him for 4 years.
Yeah. Dude, if a black dude did that, that would be one of the saddest moments in racial history. Like, I got to tell you, I don't know that I'd be angrier at Tim Scott than anyone. Like, I would be furious. Like, dude, it had to be you. Come on, dog. Like, come on. Deep down in your heart, you know this is not right.
Like, I'm sorry. It's the only way I can get here. It's the only way I can do this.
This is the best I can do. Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's gonna run this shit all the way to the end zone, man. Let me rephrase that. He's gonna run it off a cliff is a better way of saying this. Yeah. I don't think that guy is pragmatic enough to really consider the idea of like, maybe I shouldn't try to like fuck myself over in this. Maybe I should leave it up to someone else. Nah, I don't think so. I don't think he can.
Because he sees getting there as the only way to truly insulate himself from trouble.
Well, and look, he is not exactly wrong, right? Like, I actually don't think he's particularly wrong about that. I do think, like, I don't know that a Republican president, any of these guys that are running for president, I don't think any of them would actually pardon him. I think they would see it as like, this would destroy my political capital. And I think they'd be right. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they would say that now. Like, I think in the debate they asked them and they were like, how much Trump dick can I eat? Right. Like, they were like, hell yeah, MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. But I think getting into that position, like somebody like Vivek, like, someone like him getting in that position, he is so craving for power for him to then throw it all away because you it's like the Gerald Ford scenario. Once you do it, you are a lame duck president. Dude, people are not trying to listen to anything you'd say. Oh, you pardon Trump? Yeah. The Justice Department said that this guy needed to go to jail and you fucking toss that shit? No. They would never – you'd go down in history as one of the most fucking useless people to ever be elected president. What the fuck is going on with the camera?
I don't know. I will tell you this. If this trial does go off and if he is convicted in the lead up to the actual election, I will be mighty curious, because I think it's going to be a higher number than you think, of the number of Republicans if Trump is the nominee who just punt on the presidential election, who put all of their focus and all of their energy behind the congressional elections, and they don't really, you know, they're just like, yeah, whatever you do for president, I don't really care, but vote for Republicans.
You're saying national Republicans are going to punt on like pushing him, or that voters are just going to punt on like
no, that that people campaigning and that people like, I think that people running will distance themselves from him as far as they possibly can. I think that people that are already in Congress and, you know, movers and shakers in the party, I think a lot of them will basically be like, hey, look, it's all about the House and Senate. Like we, you know, we don't really care about the president because they know like if he gets convicted, there's no fucking way in Hades that he's going to win. Because again, he lost on the basis of his job as president to Biden. Right. Now you're going to add, hey, we know what you did when you were the guy. We're going to add the fact that you've been convicted of a federal crime, several federal crimes.
Yeah, potentially to this. One.
Right. And you expect us to, like, Democrats are going to come out and vote even harder. Like they will, and Republicans are going to be disenchanted.
I mean, so you think it's going to be a higher number than I would assume. Look, I think that's a good point. I don't know. I think that's I could see the party, like party insiders basically just being like not pushing the idea of not worrying about Trump, but literally just not talking about him. I could totally see.
Well, yeah, that I mean that's what it will be. Like they're not going to be like, "Yeah, vote for Biden and these other Republicans." Oh, like no, that's no, not going to even happen.
Right.
Yeah, but they will not talk about him and unless you're the most MAGA of MAGA politician that's running, you're not going to want him anywhere fucking near you in any way, shape, or form because he'll be a lead balloon at that point.
Yeah, it's a very good point. I'd be very interested to see how that shakes out. I mean, they have a chance, right? Like from a congressional standpoint, they got a chance to make a pretty good run. But I also think that abortion rights are still a very live issue for people, and women have not forgotten, dude. Like, this is not an issue that has slipped off of the main line of Democratic politics. And, like, I think people are going to be fucking pissed again.
I mean, we're more than a year out. If I had to predict how things will go, I would imagine that the Republicans are going to flip the Senate, but they'll probably lose the House.
That's not good.
No, it's not. It'd be very bad, in fact. Like, there'd be a lot of gridlock for things like judicial nominations and other appointments that the Biden administration would want to make.
And potentially, and by the way,
much grind.
Right, and potentially we could be losing a SCOTUS member in the next 4 years.
Several.
Yeah. Look, always hoping.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm curious about it. I really am. Okay, so next up, I fixed my camera, so sorry for all the fucking like craziness. I apologize for video watchers. All right, so next up, Mark Meadows took the stand this week. I find it very humorous when someone takes a stand and they're just like, "Hey, have you heard of the Nuremberg trials? I'm going to go with that defense." Which, you know, obviously historically
just following orders.
Just following orders, man. Like, I just show up to work. I just do what I'm told. The guy presses a button for Diet Coke. I get it for him. The guy wants to turn over an election. You know, I just do it. I just like, whatever, man, whatever you need. Chief of staff, baby. So that was Mark Meadows' argument in front of a real judge in real life, not in a forum. That basically the job of the chief of staff is to do whatever your boss wants. And like that's it. That's how he rolls.
It's also funny because a lot of folks when it was announced when they heard that he was testifying, were shocked because typically, you know, a defendant testifying on their own behalf is usually a bit of a Hail Mary of sorts, no matter what law and order would have you believe. Like, typically it's better to just keep your mouth shut and let the facts speak for you, right? But for him to do that and come and basically again come up with, well, you know, this was just part of my job was to try to, you know, overturn an election for Trump. Like he even said, like, you know, when he said like when he was saying like we, like on these phone calls and shit like that, he didn't mean like we, like I was involved. He's like, that's an old politics thing where you say we because you don't want to take all the credit for something. He's like, but when I said we, I didn't mean me.
It's like, yo, I'm sorry. Are we all idiots here? Like,
yeah,
that's just one of, you know, it's like that clip, that one guy. What is this, Occam's razor? What is the most likely answer is that I'm an idiot? Like yeah, dude, you're the idiot. Like, what are you talking about?
You know what it reminds me of?
Like, me included. Come on.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Clinton deposition.
Yeah.
Where he was like, what is is?
I'm sorry.
What does the word is mean?
I'm sorry. Jizz? No, is. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's really, really weird. It's a really bad argument. Like, it's a really bad argument to say, hey, I was just doing my job. And basically what they did, shout out to Fonnie Willis, they purposely held an email where he had been saying, like, oh no, anytime I heard anything about this fake electors thing, I just passed it on to the campaign because it got nothing to do with me. I'm good old Mark Meadows. I'm just over here, just, you know, sitting on my couch typing shit, right? Well, they saved an email that they dropped in the trial today, and they're like, so, or in, you know, discovery or whatever, they're like, so here's an email of you saying that you got an email, I forget from, it was like a Chesbro, that dude, email got forwarded to him about the fake electors plot, because that's what Chesbro came up with. And he was like, oh, let us talk about this at, you know, like in a couple days or something like that. Like, so why are you talking about it? Like, you're supposed to be a guy not connected to this, but here you are in plain language, not a fucking politics bullshit. You're saying we need to talk about this thing because you are working on this alongside Trump and Chesbro and, you know, John Eastman and all these other guys. You were intimately involved in this as well.
Right. Well, and his attorneys also, or the prosecutors also pointed out that it wasn't like he was some innocent bystander in all this, because they asked him straight up. They're like, didn't you have a personal stake in the outcome of the election? Because, like, to keep your job, like, your guy would have had to been reelected, and he even acknowledged that his Meadows' quote was, I can't believe I would be the chief of staff for President Biden. So like basically acknowledging that, like, yeah, like, I did, I you know, of course I had a vested interest in Trump winning the election. So
yeah, I mean, that to me is pretty damning. I gotta assume Meadows is gonna flip, or if he's already flipped, right? Like, it seems very likely that he's given up some pretty juicy information. He's just at this point trying to save his own ass.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like, I would be shocked if he and his attorneys really truly thought that going to testify was gonna somehow get the charges against him thrown out, right? Which is insane. Like, that's what he was going to do today. I still think that he and others still have a decent claim and a decent shot at making the argument that this case should be moved to a federal court. That's I think is something that they have a likelier chance of success.
Oh, than just getting it straight up dismissed. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's laughable at that point. The idea that just go home. You're fine. I don't know. The crime was committed in Georgia, very, very clearly committed in Georgia. I mean, just keep in mind that alongside Meadows testifying, Raffensperger testified as well. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I'm not saying it's a slam dunk. I'm saying that it's likely, but I think prosecutors can equally make the case that, like, this was a crime, even though what they were doing was as the guise of their duties as federal officials.
Sure.
It was a crime perpetrated against Georgia citizens.
Right.
So and that's your argument for keeping it in Georgia court.
Yeah. Right. I get that. And I actually don't disagree with it. But alongside Meadows today, Raffensperger, who was the guy who got the phone call, it was like, hey, the perfect call. Find me 11,000 more votes, yada, 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 right? What's interesting about what Raffensperger said, which I think is the best argument against Trump and sort of this Trumpism that comes along with this case, there was no fraud. They didn't find any fraud in the Georgia elections. And if you dig a little deeper into that statement, if there is fraud there, then wouldn't you have to throw out Brian Kemp's election? Wouldn't you have to throw out all the down ballot races that Republicans that they did win, right? Like where is the line of what is not legit? It doesn't make any sense.
It is hilarious that in all the talks about election fraud in the presidential election all over the country, somehow those dots never get connected. Like, it's the same ballots, the same voters. Like, surely if there was election fraud, then, you know, Stacey Abrams would have, to your point, Stacey Abrams would have beaten Brian Kemp. You know what right. I mean? Like it's not like Democrats would be like, oh, throw him off the scent. Like, we're going to vote for Joe Biden, but also for Brian Kemp. That way they'll never suspect that
right.
it's
like,
fraud.
Right, like, why? Why? There's right. way more power in ripping out the root of all the local legislature that Republicans have control of. That would be way more effective. Like, Trump gets to be president, whatever. Now we have 2/3 of the state legislatures. I'd rather have that power, because then it's like, cool, let's do some constitutional amendments. Like, let's fucking rock and roll, right? Like, but that never connects for them. They never think about that. No. They think that all of those elections, all those down ballot initiatives, and all those down ballot elections that worked out in their favor are all valid. They're all valid. Mm-hmm. No one's making the argument. And by the way, not even the races that they won. No one's even making the argument about races that they lost. Like, that
that's
are
true.
Down ballot.
Like, didn't see voter fraud. You didn't see voter fraud claims against John Ossoff. You didn't see voter fraud claims against in the Herschel Walker election. No. So just the Trump election.
Right. I don't understand how no one in the media has sat down with one of these like big lie people and be like, but what about all of these other things? Do you say, are these valid? Is the Senate valid? Is the House valid? Because are these governor's races valid? Oh, well, yeah, no, those are all valid. Really? Curious. So, like, how did the computer, like, did the Scantrons not work out that day? Or, like, what's the deal? Like, but it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. And it doesn't make sense because it's bullshit, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense because it doesn't make sense. But, you know, it's like there's rampant fraud. Why isn't there any fraud below the presidency? It'd feel like you'd be able to get like local judges in and shit like that. That's like where the juicy political like gerrymandering really makes like big differences. Like, rigging a presidential race is really hard. Rigging the local dog catcher race, probably a lot fucking easier, man. Like,
well, yeah, because there's a lot fewer votes that need to be considered.
Right.
In those instances.
And also people just take it like, oh, so-and-so's the governor. I hate that guy. But like, they just take it on his face. They'd be like, oh, well, you know, whatever. Like, they're not going to really fight that. Like, the only people really fighting shit like that is like Carrie Lake and stuff like that, because she lost.
That is truly something that I don't think we do talk about enough when we talk about this. Like, how difficult it would be if you were to, you know, fraudulently conduct an election for the president. Or governor, any like single statewide office. Do you know how hard it is to like somehow rig and make 50,000 votes? You know, like go the other direction, or
it's
appear out of nowhere, or right, like without somebody finding a trail or a thread to pull on somewhere. You know what I mean? Like you know, there that's insane. Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, it's like Republicans made the argument that this happens all the time. Dead people are voting, blah, 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 all this. But there's never any proof of this. Okay, dead people are voting. Then it should be very easy after the election, right? Like, let's take out the idea of like doing it during the election. But it should be super fucking easy that after the election, you should be able to go down every person who voted and look them up to see if all – just verify, are all those people alive on the day of voting, right? Because there are going to be people who died after, right? Like Joe Smith, he voted on, you know, November 4th or whatever, and he died on November 5th. Like, I'm sure that happens all the time, whatever. Not talking about that. But people who were alive on the day that voting happened, you should be able to very easily do the death records in your state, right? Those are handled by the government. One-to-one match. I guarantee you, if there are any, it's less than 5 people, not even percent. It's less than 5, not enough to sway any level of an election.
And also, when there is voter fraud, specifically of dead people voting in elections, it's always Republicans that do it. We've seen The Simpsons. Like, 100%. That's how Sideshow Bob got elected mayor, is by getting votes from Springfield Cemetery.
Yeah. And by the way, you're right. Every single time, it's always Republicans. You know, grabbing old people's ballots at fucking nursing homes type of shit. They do it every single fucking time. Oh, where's all the voter fraud? Yeah, you guys are doing it. You're doing it. We don't have to do it. I'm sure there have been people who have tried on the left, whatever. But we don't have to do that because we're willing to beat you at the ballot box because we actually believe in the shit that we say. You don't believe in your own causes. You don't believe in your own rhetoric. That's why you have to cheat. Also, you believe that everyone else is as much of a scumbag as you are. So you're like, well, everyone else is cheating, so I'm going to cheat. Like, but here's
that's the real key. Yeah, like you know, like we say all the time, every accusation is an admission. So
100%. Next up, this is very good news. I was happy to see this. Biden administration unveils first 10 drugs subject to Medicare price negotiations. Now, again, this is just for Medicare folks. The Biden administration on Tuesday unveiled the first 10 prescription drugs that will be subject to price negotiations between manufacturers and Medicare, kicking off the controversial process that aims to make costly medications more affordable to older Americans. This is part of Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, which passed in a party-line vote, of course, last year, that gave Medicare the power to directly hash out drug prices with manufacturers for the first time in federal program's nearly 60-year history. The agreed-upon prices for the first round of drugs are scheduled to go into effect in 2026. See, I hate that because that's super long, right? Like, if Joe Biden is still around in 2026, he will get zero fucking credit for this, right? Like, if Trump was suddenly, God forbid, reelected, Trump would be like, look what I did. Like, you didn't do that. And then people would just be like, worse, oh, see?
Or worse, they would since this is not through law, they'd kill it. Yeah. But again, this is all good stuff. Like the medications listed are stuff that treats like type 2 diabetes. It's stuff that treats rheumatoid arthritis. It's stuff that treats Crohn's. Let me tell you, I know a bunch of people that have Crohn's disease. They're all fucking miserable. Every single one of them.
I know one guy with Crohn's. Yeah, it's not a fun disease to have. Like a chronic illness.
No.
So here's the list. Just a side note. The medical industry naming schemes are obnoxious. Like they're really like the names are just really fucking obnoxious. So I apologize for
I believe that when they name drugs, they like have a random name generator where it's just like, all right, five syllables, mix them up, and just like it spits out five syllables in a random sequence.
I also believe that these could double as potential Wu-Tang member names, like in the Wu-Tang member name.
That would work. It's also good for like planet names in like a far off galaxy somewhere, like in a sci-fi novel or something. Yes,
100%. These are the planet names for the new Mass Effect game that's coming out in 2020. Eloquius? Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know.
You want me to do this? I feel like I'm going to probably knock it out of the park.
Yeah. You got it.
Okay. Yeah. Eloquius, Jardiance, Xarelto, Genuvia, Farxica. That's the one that I'm getting stuck on. Entresto, Enbrel, Imbruvica, Stellara, Fiasp, and Novolog. Which are insulins.
Yeah. The last two are insulins. There's a Crohn's disease. There's one to treat certain kinds of blood cancer. That's kind of important. Rheumatoid arthritis, as you mentioned. Heart failure, type 2 diabetes. There's three type 2 diabetes drugs. Can you tell what's really happening in this country? Something to reduce the risk of strokes. There's two of those, right? Here's the thing. Aimed really squarely at older folks, really squarely at people with not a lot of money. This is a good thing, right? This is the first 10. First 10. Again, this is just for Medicare recipients. I'm not sure you can argue against this. Like, it feels like a pretty obvious slam dunk. Of course, Republicans hate it because helping people is not their not their
emotion. And this is the kind of thing, you know, people, neoprogs, you know, love to fucking, why is it only 10 drugs? Why didn't they do more? Why didn't this go far further? This is the kind of first step you have to take, and it becomes really popular, and then it makes it easier to do more later. This is the snowball at the top of the hill, and you get it rolling, and then it picks up snow as it rolls downhill and makes it easier to negotiate future drugs. Once it's, you know, this is super popular and drug companies are like, oh, it's not fucking destroying our profits. Who'd have thought? And it just makes it easier to make more stuff happen. And these 10 drugs, accounted for about 20% of Medicare Part D prescription costs over the past year. So like to your point, like these are drugs that are super impactful. They're being used often, they're going to help a lot of people, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, the only other thing I have to say about this is if Americans truly understood how much they're getting ripped off for prescription drugs, this would never stand. Like it would never stand. I can tell you, I've had people that I know have messaged me and be like, what's the cost of this prescription drug where you are? Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'll get it for you. Like, whatever, man. Like, if you need it, like, sure. If it doesn't require a prescription, I'll get it for you. I'll be your drug mule.
What's funny is that we saw examples of this a couple years ago with the whole Martin Shkreli incident. And you have to realize that while that's an extreme example, it's not an uncommon example. And it's not that extreme.
Dude, look, let me tell you something. Somebody asked me about a particular medication that is a prescription drug. It's an eye medication. They asked me about it, like, hey, what does it cost down where you are? It was literally, and this is not even remotely an exaggeration, it was literally 10 times less than the prescription discount in the US. And it's over the counter here. You just go in and buy it. I'll just take it. Like, it's crazy.
And again, this is why.
Why are Americans paying that much? This is fucking insane. Right. Why?
This is why. This is one of the biggest arguments for socialized medicine, is because the healthcare industry should never be a for-profit industry. It's harmful to people in general for it to be for-profit. And even if you don't do socialized medicine, I think patents should be outlawed against prescription drugs.
Or look, I'm not even mad. Right. I'm not even mad. Hey, man, AstraZeneca spent all this money to come up with this drug. I'm not mad that they want to patent it. I get that. 5 years is the max you get to do that. That's it. 5 years. And it still should be price controlled, right? Like, hey, we made this medicine that helps with blood cancers. It's $1 million. Like, come on, man. Like, you're just basically like, oh, would you like to be able to eat, you know, a cheese sandwich, or do you want to live? Like, you're just dangling these things in front of people. That's not fucking fair, right? And again, the drug that somebody asked me about wasn't like, oh, it's $100 and it's 10 here. It was $400 with a prescription, which obviously makes it cheaper than if you were getting it with a health insurance, right? So without health insurance, it was like $600 or $800, right? It's like almost double. And I can get it for 10 times less than what they can get it with health insurance, good health insurance. There's no argument that Americans should be paying these prices. There's not. There is a reason that old people from California get on a bus trip and go across the border to fucking, you know, Juarez, Tijuana. Mexico or Tijuana, risking their lives so they can get their old lady pills. It's fucking insane. Like, come on. There's just no reason. Now, like, should it be regulated? Should it, you know, make sure that people are getting the right medicine and it's, you know, proper and everything else? 100%. It's not like that doesn't exist down here. However, you don't need to charge people 10 times the amount. It's literally priced with what the market will bear. And frankly, the market cannot bear it anymore because Americans simply cannot afford life-saving drugs. It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Yep.
But you can just straight up buy this shit at these like crazy discounted prices. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how inexpensive certain drugs are. By the way, you need dick pills? Way more expensive than the U.S., dude. Like, they're way more expensive. Holy shit. Holy shit. I walked into the pharmacy the other day. It's crazy. They're probably giving away.
I just don't understand how seeing life expectancy in this country go down over the last decade or so is not like a 5-alarm fire and doesn't have legislators like scrambling to be like, why is this happening? And
especially
landing on
conservative
the obvious,
ones. Especially the obvious conservative reasons. Yeah. Ones. Conservatives should be the ones being like, we need to negotiate drug prices. We need to help these old people. We got to keep them alive. Holy shit. They're all dying. Like it should be a 5-alarm fire for them because this is your constituency. But it's weird. They've somehow convinced their constituency that it is more than okay for them to get raked over the coals for drug prices and medical care. And it's even doubly fine to fuck over their grandchildren. I mean, mm-hmm. Oh, let's screw the grandkids. They've convinced them that that's somehow okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's the same logic that has them panicking about like lower birth rates in this country, but doing nothing to make it easier to have and raise children in this country. You know, or in fact, making it harder to have and raise children in this country.
And then
the way we'll solve low birth rates is by getting rid of abortions. Like, no, that's not correct. Like, people will just not stop getting pregnant. Like, there's plenty of ways to not get pregnant out there that people that really don't want kids will take advantage of. So
yes, exactly. But at the same time, this is the same people who are like, we need to get rid of contraception, right? Like, so they're like, we need to increase the birth, you know, the birth rate. Okay. We're going to force people to have these kids. If they get pregnant, okay. Now we're going to make it so that you're going to have to do the rhythm method. And everybody knows the people who practice the rhythm method, another name for them is parents. Okay, so like, knock it off. It's ridiculous. And you're like trying to force people to do these things. Like, okay, like, dude, you want to have 55 kids? You know, fucking Susan Duggar? You do you. I don't want to do that. They're like, oh, but freedom says you have to. Like, that doesn't make sense, right? Like, it's nuts, but that's what they do. But yeah, look, I think this is the first step towards getting a lot of prescription drugs reduced for older folks and hopefully getting those negotiations in good standing so that other people can benefit from this in the future with, you know, some aspect of socialized medicine. This is nothing but a good thing. But look, man, again, look at that list. They are aiming directly at a demographic that is suffering. This is what politicians mm-hmm. are supposed to do. Like,
yeah.
Not just scream and shout and ask for donations, but they are supposed
and,
to.
And it's, help and them. It's what, and it's what Democrats are doing, by the
and
way.
And have been doing.
Less we forget. Cause I know a lot of people out there love to be like, well, they don't do anything either. The Democrats, like, why bother voting for either of them? Kind of bullshit.
It's so. Like, yeah, you can just like read, like we have all the knowledge in human history. Like it's, like, we still have, like, all of the cave paintings, but, like, everything else, like, we got it. Like, it's all on the internet, man.
I don't know. If I'm told, Jay, that if Joe Biden really wants Donald Trump to lose, he should drop out of the elections. Drop out of the race.
Let Cornel West win. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all got to stop listening to that dumbass woman, man. Like, y'all really got to – folks got to stop listening to Breonna Greyjoy, like, Joy Gray, whatever it is. Like, you got to stop listening to her. She's – like, I don't think she's dumb. I'm not going to call her dumb. I think she is just a craven individual. Like, I think she is. I think she's one of the worst type of people in politics. Stop listening to her, please, for the love of God. Like, she is in fact not arguing in good faith. So, yeah, next up, mass shooting in Florida. I guess it's not technically a mass shooting, but it's certainly.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's really fucked up that we've had so many of these. And when I heard that there were three victims, I'm like, does that technically qualify as a mass shooting? That's where we're at right now with these guys. Yeah, so they're happening so often. We're trying to negotiate them on technicalities now.
Yeah. At this point. Being technically right is the worst kind of right in this particular case.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville shooting, it was a white guy who literally had swastikas on his AR-15. In his manifesto said, I hate niggers. Even the fucking lead cop said it, like, hard R. It was a black dude, like, said the shit on the news. He was like, that will be the first and last time I say that. But just to let you know, like, I'm not going to sugarcoat the shit. Like, this is what he said. He literally went into the store. He told white people as he was walking in to leave the store. And then he just proceeded to shoot only at black people. Killed two black men and one black woman.
Yeah. And again, like, I want to point out, the dude who did these killings, was detained for 3 days under previous mental health legislation, that allowed for involuntary detainment for an individual for treatment, and somehow was still able to legally purchase a semi-automatic rifle and a handgun, in the state of Florida, which he used to carry out these crimes. So the story was obviously, like, Ron DeSantis stepped off the campaign trail and, you know, spoke at a vigil and was booed mercilessly, as he should be.
Yeah.
I do want to thank, Vivek Ramaswamy, though, for helping kind of shake things back into perspective for me, because this happens so often that it's very easy to kind of skip past the victims in a lot of ways. You know, it's easy to forget that these are folks that were just shopping or that worked at the Dollar General or that, you know, they were just living their lives and were the victims of a pretty heinous assault by a fucking racist piece of shit who then was, you know, cowardly killed himself at the scene before cops could arrest him. But sometimes, a take comes along from people that is so ridiculously stupid and so devoid of humanity that it kind of snaps you back awake.
I don't like this.
And guy. Reminds you,
I really,
and reminds you, you know, that you should, that we need to really still, you know, care about the victims in this case and not just treat this as like another statistic. Vivek Ramaswamy, Jay, says that the reason this keeps happening, the reason that we have, racist fueled violence in this country.
I wanted to pause right before you say this. Okay. I've not heard this. And okay. I don't like this guy. Like, I really don't.
Okay. is because of affirmative action, Jay. That's why this,
good night,
this violence against, yeah, that's why, it's why, that's why this violence against minorities keeps happening, is because
it's
white people
fault.
Are tired of people of, you know, other colors and that are beneficiaries of affirmative action getting handouts from the government, Jay, getting for free what white people work so hard to obtain for themselves.
It's our fault.
And if only we didn't have affirmative action, that would stop all the gun violence against black people.
It's interesting. I wonder if he would say that about when incels kill white women, right? Because white women benefit disproportionately from affirmative action, mm-hmm. even more so than black folks. In this case, right, in this example, I wonder if he would have the balls to say that about white women and see how his campaign went.
So, because you see, Jay, the point that you're failing to understand is when affirmative action helps white people, it's working.
Yeah.
But when it helps minorities, that's where it's failing.
And it isn't when it's helping white women, it is literally action. In the affirmative, like,
yes,
they couldn't be more affirmative about it. Like, it's, I find him deeply, deeply upsetting as a person. I think I find him even more aggravating and irritating because he is a man of color, and mm-hmm. I there is something in the core of me that is screaming, this motherfucker is not being honest about anything he believes. I don't
know, because he quite clearly is he knows.
I know he doesn't.
He knows. He knows in the bottom of his heart that there is nothing that racist white people thrive on more. Like there is no greater nectar from the gods for racist whites to have minorities affirm their twisted views.
Absolutely.
That is like manna from heaven for them.
Yeah.
To have someone who's brown be like, no, you're right. affirmative action fucking sucks.
Yeah. I've been saying it. Hold on, I gotta put my hood on. Yeah, it's like Vivek is a prime example of what happened. Like, in a way, this is gonna be a fucking ride. In a way, Vivek is a, and I'm not trying to mess his name up on purpose. That's why I keep trying to correct myself, by the way. In a way, Vivek is a prime example of progress in a twisted way, right? He he is a South Asian man who is, you know, his parents were immigrants and everything. He has come from, so he says they didn't have any money. That apparently not true either. Shocking news. Wow, he's a liar? Oh, crazy. But he is a version of progress, which is allowing people of all ethnicities and backgrounds to not just believe one thing, not to be monolithic, but to also believe in arguably dumb shit, right? And say dumb shit, right? So he has that ability, right? We're not all a monolith, not all minorities are, and all that. It is such a twisted version of that, right? That gaining that ability and gaining the, you know, the knowledge and everything else that he has over the course of his life, he chooses the worst option, which is to try further to cement white supremacy, which the breaking of white supremacy is why he's on that fucking stage and being you know, being taken seriously. Because if it wasn't for all the people doing the exact opposite of what he's doing, he would never have an opportunity to stand on that stage as a man next to all those white men. And that's what drives me crazy. And that's why there's a part of my brain that goes, I don't think you really believe what you're saying. I think you know what you're saying is bullshit. I think you're willing to say it because it makes you money. You're willing to say it because it puts you in a position of power or adjacent to power and stuff like that. And maybe you're this money hungry piece of shit. And look, maybe you do believe it. And maybe I'm being very naive in, you know, that like these are your true feelings, but I don't fucking think so because you're not like Nikki Haley, who is a very passable person, where if you didn't know Nikki Haley was actually Indian, you would just go, oh, Nikki Haley, her name's Nikki Haley, like whatever, like that sounds like a white name. But his name and the way he looks, he is a very dark guy, right? By Republican standards, he's a super dark guy. My God, you might as well be jet black by Republican standards. He can't hide that he's Indian. Right, you can't Bobby Jindal this shit with like a white painting of yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you can't hide the fact that your name is Vivek Ramaswamy, which is the most Indian fucking name I've ever heard in my entire life. Right, you can't hide that, and he doesn't. So credit to him. Right, his name isn't Victor. So it is unbelievable to me that he going through college and everything else has never experienced people going, yeah, but you're not one of us. Like, I find it hard to believe. I find it hard to believe no one has had a fucking perfect swan song fucking life. And I can guarantee you someone who looks and has that name has not dealt with some serious shit. I can guarantee you he's definitely been the subject of some shit like that. So it's just very weird for you to turn your back on something that got you to where you are. Like, it's just fucking strange to me.
And that to me makes him all the stranger because I can't – he's auditioning. I agree with everything you're saying, and he's auditioning very consciously to be the president. And he is basically like focus testing a presidential campaign in real time. We see that because we see him flip flop on positions based on reaction and stuff like that. So what confuses me is why he would come out with a take like this when the presidential thing to do at this point in time is to be that like leader who like grieves with the victims and like that's what Joe Biden would do. Like Joe Biden wouldn't use this event as like it, in real time would not use this event to be like, oh, and by the way, this is why we need tighter gun control. Like they might get to that later on, but Joe Biden's going to be a human being first. And
That's a superpower.
Right. But in this instance, Ron DeSantis was a human being first. Like Ron DeSantis didn't go out to this fucking vigil and you know, talk about like, oh, affirmative action bad and all that sort of shit. No, he said the fucking gunman was a racist piece of shit. He was a scumbag. And, you know, there's no room for this kind of behavior and these beliefs in Florida. Now, on the other hand, Ron Sands goes out of his way to fucking endorse these beliefs in other ways, right, shape, and form. But at least he's there.
But yeah, he's trying. He's trying. And look,
right,
I give him the smallest scintilla of credit there, right? Like, you're trying. I know for him, you know, look, people made fun of Hillary Clinton, like, oh, be human 3000 fucking root computer. Your boy Ron DeSantis, like, knock it off. Like, this guy is a prime example of that, right? But he's trying to go there. He's trying to go to this vigil. He's trying to be human. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I know people are like, well, he's a politician. He's trying to exploit it. Yeah. Every politician is going to do that because it makes them seem human. And a part of being president is understanding and empathizing with other Americans. There's nothing wrong fundamentally with that. Where Ron DeSantis fucked up, and which is why the story is here, is Ron DeSantis is instrumental in loosening gun laws that allow this shit to happen, right? So when – now, this kid bought this gun legally or whatever, right? But when you are instrumental in lessening the requirements to get a gun, and then you go, hey, man, I feel sorry for everybody who got shot. People are like, not really trying to fucking hear that, bro. Like, you are the reason – you are quite literally the reason why this shit continues to happen or will happen in the future. We are not trying to hear that. And that's exactly what happened at this vigil, is people were just like, cool, go fuck yourself. And they literally booed him until the city council person had to step in and was like, quote, it ain't about parties today. A bullet doesn't know a party. She's right. And she's trying to move it off of him and make it about the situation at hand. And I agree with that. But you know what? In a way, she's wrong, because it is about politics. There is a group of people in this country, a political party in this country, or a political ideology in this country that is screaming as loud as they can, it's the guns, it's the guns, it's the guns. We are losing people unnecessarily. You are giving weapons to people. You're putting them in the hands of people who are fucking dangerous, who hate people because of the way they look, where they're from, who they love, whatever, right? All of these things. And then you have another political party that's going, stick my fingers in my ear, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear any of that. It's way too early to politicize this. By the way, I'm going to keep saying that until the next school shooting happens, and then we'll do that again. They don't want to listen. So it is actually about politics. I get the city council woman's perspective. She's trying to take the heat off, right? Like, car, let's just concentrate on, we lost these people. Let's concentrate on this. But you know what? There is a time and place for that. And you should have that vigil for those three people. You absolutely should. God forbid. Like, I can't imagine if that was my family, I would be heartbroken. I really would be. But the next day, it's time for politics. Let's get to work. This shit does not happen if a person who is mentally ill and clearly a danger to others was not allowed to buy a gun. That's a fact. That's just a fact.
And by the way, this, believe it or not, could have been way worse, because originally the gunman tried to go to an HBCU in the area and was stopped. Was basically turned away by a security at the university. So
that's fucking
terrible. Like I said. Yeah, dark. So I mean, like this could have been an even bigger tragedy.
But by the way,
yeah,
like, this is one of many reasons, not the reason, one of many reasons why I moved. This is it. It is getting worse. It is getting worse in general, and it is getting worse for people who look like me.
Yeah,
and it's getting worse for people who look like my daughter. I would not be able to recover if something happened to my kid. I just wouldn't be able to.
Well, and you even lived in a blue state.
Yeah.
But we can't, but the problem is we can't stop the red states around us from having their dumb shit leak into here.
Yeah. So like, it's not the only reason I left. And it's not even the main reason, but it is a reason. Mm-hmm. Like the idea of like, school shootings, that's not a thing here. Like, it's not a thing.
Right.
Even in sepia-toned place that I live.
Do you know why? Do you know why it's not a thing?
Gun laws here. They do.
You also don't have white people there either.
Yeah. That's true. But they don't have strict gun laws. Their gun laws are it's not easy to like get a citizen to just get a gun. You can, but it's not particularly like easy. But like there's like licensing, there's like tests and all, like there's a lot more. Yeah, you know who has guns? People in a cartel. Like that's it, dude. Like and cops, like that's it. But like regular Joes, that's not really a thing here. So you don't have this idea of people kirking the fuck out and going and killing a bunch of people. It's not a thing. There's also like weird, like kind of militarized police here. A little bit. That's a bit of a thing. Even on the beach, which is weird. But like it's but that idea of being at the Dollar General and somebody walk in and slaughter three people for no fucking reason because they just are black. It's terrifying to me. It's terrifying.
I mean it's a repeat of what we saw in Buffalo. Right. You know, how long ago?
What was that? So. Nine people, right? The nine people in grocery store.
Yeah.
Right. So I am not interested in any arguments about like fucking Ramaswamy's argument. I think it's just juvenile. I need somebody to call that out. Like I need to his face. No, never forget that right before Don Lemon was fired, he had that big fallout with Ramaswamy. It's not the reason he was fired, but it was like, it didn't help. But Vivek went on to lie about how black people secured their freedom in this country and their equal rights at the hand, like with guns, because they got the right to own guns. The fuck are you talking about?
Oh, that's in the 1800s, by the way. Like, you know, we're just forget all about Jim Crow. Like that wasn't a thing,
right? Like. What about Reconstruction? Yeah. Like, what are you talking about, right? Which is all things that, you know, conservatives were like, Vivek destroyed Don Lemon. Not if you know what facts are. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, he just made shit up. He just made it. Oh, and the NRA was instrumental in that. No, they weren't. What are you talking about? The Black Panthers got their guns taken in the 1970s. In the 1970s. Like, what?
1960s.
Yeah. Or, excuse me, 60s. Like,
yeah.
He got taken in the 60s by your boy, Ronald Reagan, right? Like, so this idea of like, you can do open carry was a thing taken away by a Republican governor. But I thought that we had like equal rights because of guns. What are you talking about? The fuck are you talking about? Like, that's insane. And here's the thing. Was it fucked up at the time? Absolutely. Am I glad that people don't have the right to open carry in California now? Yeah, kind of glad. At the time, did it make sense? Like, no.
Again, like my
trying to protect themselves. I get it.
I just love how you can point to a graph of like, you know, over time of, you know, mass casualty gun violence incidents in the country, and it kind of goes on an upward tick till we get to 1994, and then steeply drops off and stays low. Until we get to 2004, then it spikes up again, and it's just been going up ever since. And people are like, man, what happened in that 10-year time span where it fell off? Yeah, we had an assault weapons ban nationwide. Funny how when you make it harder to get these things and when you make it illegal to possess them, all of a sudden, all these mass casualty incidents just fucking stop happening.
Well, laws don't work. But what about the criminals, well, Brad? Well, what about the criminals?
That's right. The criminals will find a way to get those guns, let me tell you. So, fucking idiots.
Yeah, they are.
The lot of them.
Lot of them. 100%. Yeah. Next up, the story is fucking, dude, your boy is all over the docket. Like
I wish we did not have to give him the oxygen, but when he says such stupid things, we have to talk about it because it's just incredible. And again, this is probably why half the reason he says these stupid things is because he knows he says things that are audacious, and that's the only way he's going to get name ideas. Because why else is anyone going to talk about Vivek Ramaswamy? You know?
Yeah. Like, This guy really fucking – oh, I don't like the cut of this guy's jib. So
– And here's – before you get into what he said, I don't – like he could not have picked a more perfect person to say it to. The king of not following up, Chuck Todd.
Yeah. just let it go. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Good night, Vivek. Like –
fucking he cannot be done on that fucking show soon enough.
No, he's leaving soon, right?
I think this is his last year in Caitlin Collins' replacement.
Thank God.
Significantly better.
If I thought that Republicans would be honest actors and still show up on Meet the Press, when they gave this shit to Chuck Todd, Rachel Maddow would have been the perfect host. She would have been the perfect host. Like, because she would have held their ass to their feet to the fire, but they'd be like, just like they do with her show.
I just don't understand how, and again, we're like we're going off on a tangent. I don't understand how you fucking go from Tim Russert to a guy like Chuck Todd. Tim Russert famously fucking gave it as good as he got. Like, and when Tim Russert heard some dumb shit on Meet the Press, like he fucking responded in kind. Yeah.
Nah.
Fucking.
Chuck
fuck Todd. You, Chuck Todd.
Yeah, fuck you, Chuck Todd.
the words of Barack Obama.
Absolutely. So Vivek Ramaswamy says that he would have certified the 2020 election results and that Pence missed an opportunity for heroism. Okay. Those two things don't make sense together. Like, two things that do not go. You would have certified.
Mm-hmm.
But Pence, who did certify, misses opportunity for heroism. So you would have also missed your opportunity for heroism? Is that your argument? So let's go to the quote because it's very telling. Now, I just want you to keep in mind, while saying this,
mm-hmm.
this is the same guy, and you have to remember this. This is the same guy that says, I want to make sure that 18-year-olds coming out of high school, when they vote, they should probably be tested on civics to make sure they understand how the government works before they vote. Because that is important to understand. That he thinks that people should understand how the government works. All right, here's the quote. What I would have said is, this is him, this is a moment for a true national consensus where there's two elements of what's required for the functioning democracy in America. One is secure elections, and the second is a peaceful transfer of power. When those things come into conflict, there's an opportunity for heroism. He goes on to say, here's what I would have said. So he says, I would have certified, right? I would have gone down, fucking rubber stamped it. Ran away when the Jan 6 rioters came to kill me. Heard Ashley Babbitt getting shot in the background. But I would have run away. But here's what I would have said. We need a single day voting on election day. We need paper ballots. We need government issued ID matching the voter file. And if we achieve that, then we have achieved victory. And we should not have any further any further complaint about election integrity. I would have driven it through the Senate. In my capacity as president of the Senate, I would have led through that level of reform, then on that condition, certified the election results, served it up to the president, then to sign it into law, and on January 7th, declared the re-election campaign pursuant for a free and fair election. I think that was a missed opportunity.
Huh.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Like, I gotta find my Constitution. No, I'm confused. There is indeed still a House of Representatives.
Okay. It turns out. He doesn't know how the government works. And he wants to have a test for 18-year-olds. In my capacity as president of the Senate, I would have led through this level of reform. Then, on that condition, certified the election results, served it up to the president. What the fuck are you talking about? That's not how laws work, my dude. on January 6th, it was the exact same situation, and you're the vice president, Vivek. You have to get a bill through committee, and then it has to get, like, there are voting processes that happen. It's got to get out of committee. It's got to then get to the entire floor of the House. Then it's got to pass the House. Then it has to go to the Senate. It has to go through all the cooling, you know, the saucer of the hot, you know, the hot cup that is the House. It's got to get cooled in the Senate. They got to talk about it. They got to figure all that shit out. Then they would vote for it in the Senate, and only then, if there was a tie, you, as the president of the Senate, would break the tie. What you're talking about is not how the government works. You are a fucking amateur, and you don't know what you're talking about. You are a deeply unserious person. You don't have the knowledge that an 18-year-old should fucking have on how government works. By the way, you're going to do all this in the same day. Cool, bro. Magically. What are you talking about? This guy's a fucking joke.
Not to mention the fact that he's like, oh, I would have pushed this through the Senate. Last I checked, you need 60 votes, and Republicans didn't have 60 votes in the Senate to get a law. To stop filibustering of that from happening. So good job, you fucking idiot. I also missed part of the other fun quotes is he saying that certifying Mike Pence not certifying the election in favor of Trump was an opportunity that he missed to reunite the country by not doing that. And I say to him, had Mike Pence gone against the will of the people, I have to imagine that, the 81 plus million Democrats that voted for Joe Biden, or however many it was, 74 million, I can't remember the exact number. All those Democrats that voted for Joe Biden and people who didn't vote but, you know a coup when they see one, would not have been too pleased about that turn of events. And it might have served to maybe divide the country that much further. Just because Republicans are babies doesn't mean that we need to kowtow to their every will because they're being children about everything. Because they're sad that they lost.
You're 100% correct. I'm done with this guy. Like, dude, that is the most insane thing I've ever heard. That you would have
stood on the steps
of the Senate and fucking rallied everyone to your cause. What the fuck are you talking about? You giant buffoon. Knock it off.
This dovetails nicely into my Vivek story because a clip came out where past Vivek Ramaswamy completely undercuts the presidential campaign of current Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, we don't have the clip, and you can go seek it out if you want to, and we don't spend a lot of time on it. But, Jay, back in 2003, mm-hmm. In the lead-up to the 2004 presidential election, Al Sharpton, who was then running in the Democratic primary, did a town hall with Chris Matthews that aired on MSNBC. Uh-oh. And there was a young 19-year-old Indian man, fresh-faced in college, named Vivek Ramaswamy, who stood up and asked a question to the Reverend Al Sharpton and said, why do you think it's a good idea to vote, to fall behind and support the least experienced candidate in the race? And they had basically had Al Sharpton tried to explain how, though Al Sharpton did not have government experience, he had the most political experience of all the Democratic candidates that were running in the 2003 election, which is also bullshit because the guy that eventually won the nomination, I would argue John Kerry, probably had the most political experience, even more so than Al Sharpton. Yeah. Vivek Ramaswamy lacks, however, both the government experience and political experience. So I would think that maybe Vivek should take a lesson from his 19-year-old self and sit the fuck down.
Yeah, he has the least amount of experience on that of the actual candidates that are being taken seriously. He has the least amount of all of them.
And by the way, for what it's worth, I agree with 19-year-old Vivek Ramaswamy. I think it's ludicrous that anybody would run for president without some kind of government experience in their background. And say what you will about, you know, like Obama, for example. Like, did Obama have a very short time in Washington? 100%. He was only a senator for 4 years before he was elected president. But he also served in the Illinois State Senate. He was also a community organizer, which is political experience as well. So Barack Obama was much more qualified to be president than a lot of people probably assumed that he was.
Yeah. Like I never buy into the idea that you need executive experience to be president. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's beneficial, but I don't think it's like, yeah, oh, that like this is the end all be all type of thing. But having no experience, like this is why I don't, this is why I'm not a fan of the celebrity running for president idea, even if it's a celebrity mm-hmm. I like. Like, oh, what if The Rock runs for president? The Rock doesn't have any political experience. But he doesn't. So what is he going to learn it on the job type of shit? And look, remember during the debate, like the clip we played last week where Mike Pence is shitting on Vivek and he's like, we don't have time for somebody to learn on the job. I'm like, that was the guy you ran with. The fuck you.
That was you. About?
That was you.
That was your boy.
Yeah, you were teaching him. Like, this is when you have executive time. This is when, like, you were teaching him. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, so look how it worked out when you gave it to Trump, who had no political experience. It was a disaster. And Vivek is 19-year-old Vivek. Let's call him Proto Vivek. Proto Vivek was 100% correct. The final model sucks and he is incorrect and he shouldn't be running for president because, again, he is a deeply, deeply unserious person. He is. That quote, I'm serious. That quote about what he would have done to certify the election is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. I award him no points and may God have mercy on his soul. Like, it was ridiculous. It's a ridiculous thing to say. Oh, I would have stood up there and I would have come up with this bill. Like, yo, shut the fuck up. No, you wouldn't have. No, you wouldn't have.
To your point, just undermined by the fact that, you know, literally the week before he's like, 18-year-old should have to take a civics test. Well, sounds like 38-year-olds should also probably have to take a civics test as well, my man.
Yeah. No, like, dude, you don't know how government works. By the way, I didn't mention it in our first story about the Trump trial thing, but Trump says that he is going to make an appeal. He's going to have an appeal
trial date.
On his trial date. It's not a thing. You have lawyers. You have lawyers. Do any of you know what's going on? Do any of you know how the law works? This guy was president for 4 years. He has no idea how the law works. None. Again, Democrats are required to be the adults in the room and to explain things to Republicans like they're five. Republicans come in spreading their feces all over the wall, quite literally during January 6th, but you know, figuratively every time they are elected because they have no idea how government works. That's why you believe in some like crazy deep state and all this other conspiracy stuff, because when you find out how government works, you're shocked at this news. Things are shocking. One of the things I saw black conservatives saying about this Florida shooting, incidentally, which is a very serious topic, but here's an example of people who also don't know what the fuck is going on. They're like, well, Joe Biden promised a hate crime bill, like, or, you know, specifically for, you know, crimes, you know, violence against black people. Like, where is that? Where is that? And people were like, one, it's not being held up by Joe Biden. Take a guess who it's being held up by.
That's right.
You identify with. Right? Yeah. That's one part of it. Two, the hate crime bill that they're referring to wouldn't have stopped those people from being killed. That's not the point of it. Like,
it's just to stiffen the penalties.
It wouldn't have stopped it. So it's like, you know what would have stopped it? Not having a gun. Like, that's what would have stopped it. But you don't want to talk about that because that's inconvenient to your narrative. So it's just like these people don't really understand what's happening. They're just flailing. And so it's like they would make the argument that this wasn't passed, so that therefore these people were killed, right? Like it's like 100% causality, right? Like, this wasn't passed by Joe Biden and the Democrats, so that's why those three black people were killed. However, let's all not pretend like if it had been passed, they would have argued how useless it was because three black people were already killed. You can't win.
I mean, but these are the same people that advocate for the death penalty that will somehow curb down murders. Like, no, it's just to you a more satisfying way of punishing them. So,
yeah, that's it. And for me, all I can think is the criminal justice system has put how many people in jail, especially people who look like me, on death row and have turned out to be wrong. No thanks. Like,
yeah, after the fact, by the way.
Right. There's been people who've been literally executed, like, ooh, we might have messed up. Yeah. Like, no, nah, that's
fucked
one
that
too
up.
Many.
Fuck that one up.
Our bad. Like, it's one too many. One too many. All right. That's why we need to get
a minority report. Yeah. We need to have the fucking precog to tell us when before crimes even happen. That's the only way to curb it out. So
yeah, and in Republicans, you know, in conservative America, they won't be called red balls. It'll be black balls. Like, black guy, like, arrest him. Like, for what? I don't know. He's gonna do something eventually. Like, he's gonna download a movie. Like, let's just get him now. This week in stupid. Excuse me. This is a wild clip. Peter Ducey?
I haven't seen it. Oh wait, I have seen it. If it's Peter Ducey, I have seen it.
There you go.
Man, Peter Ducey is so, before you run this clip, Peter Ducey is so fucking thirsty. Also deeply unserious. I can't believe before you hear the clip that Jay's about to run, I can't believe that Peter Ducey, the White House correspondent for Fox News, a supposedly mainstream journalistic organization, thought about the question that he was going to ask Karine Jean-Pierre, who's Biden's press secretary, and thought to himself, this is the one. This is it.
Nailed it.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Let me ask a serious question to a serious person.
Biden want to limit Americans to 2 beers a week.
I where is this coming from? Maybe I did miss you so much. Where is this coming from?
All right, well, Dr. George Kube, who is the director of the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, says the U.S. may soon follow Canada and recommend just 2 beers a week. How do you guys think that's going to go?
Let me tell you what I'm not going to get involved in. In that question right there, I have no idea. I've not seen the data. I cannot speak to this. I will leave it to the experts and not weigh in.
So if the experts say 2 beers a week, that's okay with President Biden.
I will leave it to the experts. I'm just not going to comment on that.
Okay.
Okay.
First of all, shining poster for Peter Ducey, or for Peter Ducey, one of the worst Nepo hires of all time.
Absolutely. Of all time. Is the disconnect that you think a recommendation is a requirement?
Like, is that a law?
Yeah, it's not connected to a law, dude.
I love this shit.
Spoiler alert. Doctors don't recommend you drink a fucking 6-pack of beer every night, Bubba. Okay. Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
They probably tell you to drink a heck of a lot less, probably 2 or 3 beers, maybe 6 beers a week, right?
Hey, what's the current? I wonder what the current recommendation is for, like, hey, don't consume more than this many beers in a week's time. I bet you it's like 3, and I bet you like the reduction to 2 is not actually that big of a deal,
right? Like, it's
if that's what's recommended, again, based on studies, based on what alcohol, you know, does to your liver and shit like that.
It's not like
we drink it because it fucking tastes delicious and beer is awesome, but like in no way is it actually helping you in any way, shape or form. Come on.
It's poison. Like it's literally poison. Look, I like poison. I'm going to go home and have a scotch tonight. I got a Japanese scotch. I can't wait to open. Right. But like, I'm not under some impression like, oh, I thought it was good for me. Like, no, you dumbass. I can't know it's bad. But, you know, things in moderation. But I just love that he has nothing better to ask than some bullshit question about, like, hey, man, is that okay? Like, how are you guys going to deal with this? I don't know, maybe in the same way that your president, Republicans, your president banned vaping for kids who were 18
or wanted to, at least. Here's what I have to say about Peter Doocy asking this question. If this is the best question that Fox News has to come up with on a given day in a White House daily press briefing, things are probably going pretty well. Like they're reaching for the bottom of the fucking scraping the bottom of the barrel to be like, oh, like we got to nail them on something. Let's check out what this institute is going to recommend for beer consumption, and how yeah. and how that's out of step with Joe Q Public. And yeah. and they're going to be so mad. Like, that's going to cost them the election. I'm like, okay, guys.
Yeah, do you believe sure. that? Like, here's what people are going to do with that recommendation. I didn't hear that shit. And just keep doing what they're doing, man. Like,
yeah,
you want to drink 6 beers a night? Look, I wouldn't personally, from a health perspective, recommend it. But you're right. Like, what the fuck? What do I give a fuck? Stay off the road. But speaking of drinking and driving, mm-hmm. I want to play a clip. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but it is unbelievably funny to me. That things never change. This is a clip from a news report. You've seen this, right?
I'm sure I have. Once we play it,
this is a clip from a news report in the 80s when they
instituted. Oh, I know that. Yeah,
DUI laws, right? For you know, driving.
Oh, DUI laws. The one that I've always seen was the one when they instituted like seatbelt laws. And people are like, this is bullshit. And they're like, yeah. No, like, we're literally just trying to save your life. Like, fuck, if I don't want to wear my seatbelt, I'm going to go through my windshield like a red-blooded American. Like, yeah, right. Leave that red blood all over the fucking baby.
Yeah. Have fun. Idiot. So this is them talking about drinking and driving. And like, hey, man, probably going to make a law about this. It just goes to show you things don't change. So here you go.
The attempt to restrict drinking and driving here is viewed by some as downright undemocratic.
It's kind of getting common. It's when a fella can't put in a hard day's work, put in 11, 12 hours a day, and then get in your truck and at least drink one or two beers.
They're making it laws where you can't drink when you want to. You have to wear a seatbelt when you're driving. And pretty soon we're going to be communist country. Communist country.
And for those of you not watching the video version, I have to point out that the woman.
What you think they look like?
The woman. Well, they look exactly what you think. And the woman, as she's saying this, in the second part of the clip, literally has a fucking baby in the front passenger seat next to her
in a pickup truck.
Like just fucking chilling. Like you can't ask for a better frame shot than that. Yeah, certainly too. Remember when fucking small children babies used to ride in the front seat? Get yeah. the fuck out of here.
It's wild. But what you realize is Republicans and sort of conservative mindsets have not changed. They haven't. Like, people are still mad about that. But this is just a recommendation. And they're not even saying they're taking it. This guy is jumping to the conclusion that they're going to take it because some article was like, they may adopt the Canadian.
Well, because it's a federal institute that's going to make this recommendation. Like that's the only reason that they're saying that. So that technically falls under the administration's purview. But again, like Biden's not like directing him to be like recommend two beers, Jack. Like, come on, but as much ice cream as you want. Like, that's not what's fucking happening. Like, they're fucking doing studies, man.
Yeah, and look, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. You can just drink more beers, more or less, right?
Like, yeah. You know how the FDA like recommends that you don't consume more than 2,000 calories a day on average? And you know how most people in this country say fuck that and consume many more? It's kind of the same thing with the beer, man. Like, you can just be like, you know what? Actually, I'm going to have 4 beers this week. Like, cool. No one, the Gestapo is not going to kick down your door and rip that fucking Miller Lite out of your hand. You know, like they're going to be like, yeah, fuck your mind.
I mean, by the way, like if this recommendation comes down, I hope it becomes a mandatory law, frankly. but I think they need to add to that yes, you can only have 2 beers, but if you want to have more than 2 beers, they have to be Bud Lights. With a trans person on it, like you get just like hold your hand and just force it down, right? And that's how you become gay. Everyone knows that. it's just math. But it's just so weird that this is, to your serious point, if this is the best thing Fox News correspondent can think to ask, things are going pretty good. That's how you know. Like, they don't have anything. They're like, Joe Biden, you want to ban beer and hamburgers? What about gas stoves? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm trying to bring down the cost of Cymbalta or whatever the fuck medicines, right? I'm trying to help people here. And they're like, but what about the Coors Lights? Right?
Like, and here's the thing. Like, I don't want to see the clip, but I do want to know, like, if a listener can just inform me if Jesse Waters talked about the beer thing on his show, like, one of these last couple nights. Like, I just want to know if he did or not. My money's on yes.
That guy sucks, by the way. Like, he's really bad. Like, he sucks in as a general sort of Fox Newsy way, but he, like, sucks at his job, which is even worse.
Yeah, he's not talented at all.
And his mom,
like, not even a little bit.
And his mom dunks on him all the time because his mom is, like, apparently very reasonable and writes into the show, like, you're covering for fascists. What's wrong with you? Like, Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, I give him credit for at least putting the shit on air.
Reading the shit verbatim or playing her voicemails. Yeah.
I know. Wow. God damn.
Without a shred of self-awareness. Obviously, yeah, he's
like,
either.
Mom's getting crazy. I'm like, I think your mom is totally sane, dude. I think
you're actually the crazy one.
Yeah, you're the crazy one, dude. All right, that is it for us. Like we said in the beginning, fast turnaround for us. And again, I apologize if you were watching and we had all those, like, weird camera issues. Sorry about that.
Not you know, like, I know you said we, but, like, I just want to make it clear, like, when you say we, you don't mean me.
I'm not included in that. It's an old politician's trick. Well, Mark Meadows is a wild dude, man. Oh, quickly, just before we go.
Yes.
We did not mention, and it would, it is unbelievable that we did not focus on this. We, like, for real, both of us here. Trump said that he was 6'3", 250.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well,
what?
So clearly they didn't actually, like, have him step on a scale. Like, they just asked him, like, hey, how much do you weigh? And he's like, 215, which is insane. I've loved every bit of it. So mostly what people have been doing is, like, comparing him to, like, NFL quarterbacks happen to be 6'3", 15, like Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and guys like that, and kind of comparing their two physiques just to kind of show how ridiculous his claim is. What's funny is that I believed, like the 215 part is obviously ridiculous. What's funny is I have believed that he is, like, 6'3", without really any, like, scrutiny behind that. Like, I just accepted his fact. And apparently he's really not. They show him in pictures next to people whose heights are actually documented because they were, like, athletes and shit like that. And he's significantly shorter than most of these people. So, dude, like, he's probably, like 6'1", maybe.
Yeah, I believe Obama is 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
Obama is 6'2", right? He played college basketball. Like, these are documented things, right? Barack Obama also, no reason to lie. Like, who gives a fuck, right? Like,
also he's, true.
Right, he's not a fucking petulant child. He's 6'2". But when you see pictures of Trump and Obama standing next to each other at the inauguration, Trump is slightly shorter than Obama is, right? Or at a very minimum, like, the same height, right? But I'm pretty sure he's a little bit shorter than Obama. He's probably closer to 6'1". Mm-hmm. Incidentally, Barron, his son, is 6'7". He's a fucking giant. Dude, he is so big. I'm like, good Lord.
Yes.
You were a pup when you went to the White House, like, the first time. It's insane. But yeah, he's lying. But it was funny because he said he was 215. Mark Meadows said he was 235.
Mm-hmm.
So we're meant to believe that Mark Meadows is 20 pounds heavier than Donald Trump. Come on, dude. Like, no, absolutely not. No. Trump's probably like 250 to 300, somewhere 275 maybe.
He's probably on the high. Like, he's probably pushing three bills. And I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because, look, so me, for example, like, if you see me out, like, you would not think that I weigh as much as I do. And I weigh, like, more than most people do because I'm also tall. So the weight is evenly distributed. And I'm very strong and muscle. I'm not being an ass, by the way. And muscle weighs more than fat. And Trump doesn't have any muscle. So I would imagine that he probably does weigh less because he's just a fucking...
I'm very strong.
I'm very strong. And so because he's a fucking fat blob, Trump is. There's no muscles in there at all.
He's thin bones and he's just a chunk of a person, right? He's got no muscle mass whatsoever. It's ridiculous, frankly. The idea that he is like the same size as Lamar Jackson from the Ravens is fucking hilarious to me. But like, why are you lying? Why are you lying? Yeah. Yes, maybe you are the fattest president since Taft. Like, maybe. I don't know. Like, maybe you did get stuck in a bathtub once. Maybe. I don't know.
I wanted I really like why like how come they didn't have Tim Robinson there at the fucking jail? Like when he's like, how much do you weigh? 215. You sure about that? You sure about that?
I don't think so, my man. I don't think so. I need that guy to be following Trump during the entire campaign trail.
Yeah.
Like Trump says something, you just hear a voiceover like, no, I don't think so. But it's just the idea of like, that's how you know he is an untrustworthy person.
Yeah.
Why are you lying? Like, this isn't even like a societal thing. Like, oh, woman, no, I actually am this weight or whatever, right? Society tells them they have to be smaller. This is a dude. You can't tell your real weight? Come on, man. Like, that shit is silly. Yeah,
it makes him look embarrassed. Or like it's embarrassing to him to have to publicly put that out there.
I mean, Chris Christie's a big guy. Like he's got to be pushing over 3 bills.
Oh, Chris Christie's probably nearing 350, if not more.
Like
he's a big man. Chris Christie is.
He's a big man. Wow, he dropped in 2014. He dropped 85 pounds, and it didn't look like he did. So he's a big fucking guy.
I think between now and then he's found him again. So.
Oh, what is this? Oh, because he had weight loss surgery. Oh, okay, well there you go. I did appreciate MSNBC's coverage of the whole indictment and everything else, and they were talking about that when his height and weight came out, and they were just dunking on him. Like, they were just dunking on him, dude. Like, this shit was so unprofessional. Like, it was hilarious. I loved it. Joy Henry was like, yeah, he's probably been sucking down Ozempic for the last week. Like, trying to fast. I thought that shit was funny, man. Like, I appreciated their pettiness about it. Like, it was deeply unprofessional, but I was like, I'm here for that. I'm here for it. Like,
you know, sometimes it's catharsis, right? Like, you can't just call it down the middle. And if you're going to fucking joke about something, joke about something completely trivial. Yeah. Like why can't Trump admit how much he weighs?
Right. Look, I'm not, I don't think fat shaming people is necessarily okay. But I will make the biggest of exceptions when it comes to Donald Trump. I don't care that people make fun of his weight. Fuck that guy. He's a massive fascist. It's fine. It's fine. Oh, no. Did they hurt the fascist feelings? Good. Go run on a treadmill, you fat piece of shit.
Well, don't, and again, like, don't make fun of him. Like, we're not making fun of Trump for being fat. That just is what it is. Like, we're making fun of him for denying. Fair enough. I'm making fun of him for so brazenly denying reality.
It's weird,
but then again,
man,
that's his whole fucking thing. Yeah, so.
It's very weird. Like, I don't see Chris Christie being like, no, I'm 215. Like, come on, man. We have eyes.
He should. If I were him, I'd find a way to slide that in there, like in an interview somewhere.
At the next debate or
something like that.
Oh, that's pretty good. Like, hopefully.
He'll be there. Trump will be there.
My first line to him, 100%, right out the gate. I'd be like, Donald, I'm glad you're here. Shout out to you. You know, it's very cool that you and I weigh the same. We're both coming in at 215. Like, that's how I just say that shit. Because look, the best jokes are including yourself, hitting yourself.
Yeah, self-deprecating. Yeah.
And then hitting another guy at the same time. I'm like, don't worry about it. Glad we're both coming in at 215, 6'3". We're doing it, man. Me and you together. Trump would be fucking furious. Because he couldn't help it. He'd just be like, you're fat. Whatever. Like, he would come off as very small, ironically. So, like, yeah. No, that's what I would do. Absolutely. 100%. Just go after
him. Bring a problem with you. Bring a scale to the debate. Be like, come on. Step on it right now. Come on. Oof.
I like that kind of pettiness, Brad. I'm not going to lie.
I'll give you 5 pounds for the clothes. I'll give you a 5-pound deduction.
Look, I'll give you 10. I'll give you 10. No, fuck that. That would be hilarious. We're like, you know, Donald Trump likes to bring, you know, guests with him. I'd be like, I brought a guest with me. It's a Weight Watcher scale.
What it's a bathroom on? Scale.
Yeah. Let's just do it. Me and you. We'll do it together. Come on. Together. I'll be honest about what I weigh, baby. Like, don't worry about it. So, yeah, I think hitting him on that right out of the gate, Chris Christie could do that, and he would – it would be no problems. Because you could just be like, well, Chris Christie's fat. And he'd be like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm fat. Yeah. Hello. Like,
Well, where?
I'm trying. I'm fucking trying here. Like, so, yeah, I could not believe it. 215, dude. Come on. Knock it off. Why did you
stick with 239?
Yeah,
why? We would have still not believed him, but it would have been much less ludicrous than be like, yeah, I've actually lost 25 pounds since
I'm president. I'm getting shredded, guys, for the summer. No. Sure, buddy. Get the fuck out of here. All right. That is it for us. We will see you guys next week for another episode.
See ya.